Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
Still has not updated the intro.
New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find
everybody
the resource
knows.
And training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive.
Do you even look at the script anymore? Do you just go by memory?
I have it in front of me just in case, because I have messed it up a few times, but it's pretty much to memory now.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be shameful if it wasn't, right?
It would be 380 times. You're like, you can never memorize a Bible verse with that. So
anyway, yeah, no kidding.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man. Okay, so today's podcast is about prospectuses, or is it prospecti?
If it was the Latin, it would be, but I don't know.
All right. Well, that's what it's about.
Because you don't say campi, you say campuses. So sometimes it gets Americanized, whatever. Anyway.
All right. Well, let's listen in.
Hi, guys. Chris from Paris Valley Community Church in Paris, California. We are a new church plant, but we began organically with our own city, and we're not sent out of any particular church. Although we have come to a time where we know that we need help and assistance from others, we have known about putting together a prospectus, but we're not entirely sure as to what needs to go into it. Can you shed some light onto what we need to be including in this document?
Okay, so number one, read Planting Missional Churches. Number two, newchurches.com plus membership. We have, I think, 30 plus different prospectuses. Including InDesign.
Do you know
files.
Some of those go back like forever. I was actually.
Yeah, we do have new ones. We do have new ones.
Oh, yeah, I know, but I started collecting those like 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I know we've updated them all, but it is sort of fun how many of those are actually churches now, you know, where you can look at a prospectus. By the way, I did look it up, and prospectus is sometimes the plural of prospectus or prospectuses. So,
okay.
Anyway.
So not prospecti.
It says the Latin lawyer says, and I Googled it online, and they can't put it online if it's not true. They say it's best just to say, you know, if it's there, it's got to be.
Oh, of course.
It's got to be true.
Of course.
You know? You know, we have at the alumni office, we have a little sign outside the door, lessons in Latin that you walk by every time. And it's what an alumni, I don't even know. But you got to learn, you know, all these things. So anyway. I would say let's still answer his question, though. But here's the thing. But I think the InDesign reference is key. Is that you need to not spend your life recreating what other people have done. So there's all kinds of these that are already out there, and you can take through there. So, you know, typically you're going to put who are the people. You know, that's you and him and, you know, his family. And if there's a team, what's the place? You know, use all P's if you want. What's the place? Tell about the area. Why is there a need for a new church here? Give us some statistics and demographics. Are there other churches here? What are the partners?
Yeah.
Or that's the next thing. So who's helping you with this? He said it's organic, which I never know what organic means to church planners. Usually that means disorganized. But we organically have. But basically, I don't think he was sent by anybody. He just sort of emerged there. Mm. So he might not have a mother church. But my guess is there's some relationships. And that adds, you know, value when you use your prospectus to get other partners. So when you have some partners, like when you're endorsed by a denomination, we don't know his denomination, but when he's or if he even has one, but are you endorsed by a denomination? If so, you know, which one? Have you gone through some training? If so, which one? So you kind of walk through all that, and then the plan is probably the heart of it. Now, you typically lay out an 18-month strategy. I don't know. That's what I've always done. I guess there's not really a typical way to do this, but I've always laid out an 18-month strategy, and so that's the plan. And notice I did those all with the letter P because I'm a preacher. So what would you add? What would you add with the letter P involved? Or I'll set you free. You don't have to use the letter P.
No, I didn't grow up a Baptist, so it's hard for me to do that.
There you go.
Well, you know what? I would say your plan to self-sustainability. So in addition to your budget, in addition to your 18-month plan, 9-month plan, whatever that is, and how much you need and how you're going to use the funds, because you're asking people for money. And typically, if you want to get large gifts, then you need to be transparent. People want to know where the money's going, why you need that much money, that it's not some just random amount that someone asked you to raise, but that you're actually, you've actually thought about how it's going to be used and where it's going to go. So that plan, but also to show them your plan to getting to get to self-sustainability is going to be huge, because it instills trust, right? It instills the fact that you prayed about that, that, well, yes, hopefully prayed about it, but that you thought through it, that you worked through it in that way. So I definitely add those things, you know.
Yeah, those are not letter P's, but I think that budget and getting to self-sufficiency are really key.
Yeah.
Because, again, otherwise people are like, okay, so am I just funding you in perpetuity, which, by the way, is a P.
Yeah.
But not, so it's not perpetual funding, but you are, this is startup funding. So yes, you're asking for, you know, in a sense, spiritual venture capitalists. Mm. And so, but you got to have some why. I mean, what's the plan? Why is this going to work?
Yeah, completely. Now, what's interesting, Ed, for my in my book, No Silver Bullets, you know, I didn't read
five silver bullets.
No, you know, I didn't write it for church planters. I wrote it for church leaders. But it's been interesting to look at or hear the feedback that church planters have given me, because that's not really why I wrote it. But the number of church planters that have said that it's helped them in discerning
their
strategy,
book
their vision
they've ever read.
second to planting missional churches, right?
Yeah, well, there you go. Exactly.
No, but genuinely, and the reason I bring that up is because I have a chapter there that really talks about, I mean, the whole book is about building a discipleship pathway, but there's a chapter I talk about the importance of values and how you craft your values in a way that better disciples and better gets you on mission. So I say all that because in the prospectus, yes, you need to talk about your vision, your strategy, but your values are going to be huge, because your values and the way that you word them, the way that you outline them, show how different your church is from the church down the road and why another church is needed and uniquely who you are going to be reaching. And to have a set of values that are just generic words, I mean, that's going to just go along with the pages. It's not going to stick out. But if you have done the hard work and there's rationale around why you have these three to four values, that's going to go a long way in terms of instilling trust and confidence in the whole process.
Yeah, and I would say I like that too. And with the values part, if we can go back to that.
Yeah.
With the values part, we can go from there, and that can go right into other things. Whereas, you know, some of the other stuff won't, but that can make your webpage, that can tell people who are considering being a part of your church plant, these are your values. So again, some of these are plug and play. You know, probably the budget you're not going to put on your webpage, but I would say you're going to put your plan on your webpage. You're going to put your these things. So use them as something you're going to use for multiple purposes as well.
Yeah. So just a quick word from our sponsor, and then we'll get back into it. You know, training your volunteers and leaders is important, but do you ever feel like you don't know where to start? Well, that's why Lifeway Leadership developed Ministry Grid. With Ministry Grid's library of over 3,000 training videos, the work has been done for you, and you'll be able to train everyone in your church. And this is training you can trust. Each Ministry Grid video features an experienced ministry leader who has been where you are now. And you can even customize the training by adding videos, PDFs, YouTube videos, and more. And now, Ministry Grid has one price that gives you unlimited access to train your entire church. That's one price, one plan, unlimited access. Just go to ministrygrid.com to learn more. Once again, that's ministrygrid.com. Now back to the podcast. So recently, Ed, I noticed this one church plant out in LA that they had their church's website that they eventually got up. But during fundraising, during launch team, their website was their prospectus. So they had the printed version for people who wanted the printed version, but the webpage had everything. It had videos from the pastor, the church planner, you know, videos about their city. I mean, and their vision, everything that you would have read on a PDF, they actually had it as their website and their vision for the city. And I think especially,
I don't know, that seems a little weird. I mean, some of the, like, if you put down, you know, here's how much money we're raising, because you're going to include budget, here's the pastor's salary. I don't know. That just seems weird when people start looking and they're like, okay, so your plan is to move into this at that place. I don't know. Maybe that level of detail. I don't think I would do it. I mean, it's fine that people do it different ways. I probably wouldn't do it that way. But I get what they're going at, and you know, that full, and again, nothing that's secret. It's just when I write something geared towards someone who's investing in it, it looks different than when I try to reach unchurched people. And I think of my webpage as more geared towards reaching unchurched people than necessarily attracting investors. And I'm not like opposed to that, but it just seems a little odd, because what I'm trying to do with the prospectus is go to Christians who want to reach people who don't know Christ. And I mean, I guess everyone knows who want to reach people for Christ, but it seems that some of the details about timing and maybe my qualifications or maybe my partnerships, those are all things that, or my training, that don't matter as much. I think of a web page, and again, it's fine that they did that. I'm not, you know, in an uproar. But I think of the prospectus as geared towards investors and the web page as geared towards people we're trying to engage and to reach. So that's, I'd probably make that the distinction between the two.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily remember if the website had all the financial information and as much as in the printed prospectus, but I'm just looking at his three prospectus. So he had three versions of his prospectus that he would use for different instances and different conversations. So the really cool thing about one of his, and all of these are part of Plus membership, and you can get them there at newchurches.com. We'll put a link in the show notes. But at the end of one of his, after next steps and talking about, okay, number one, pray. Number two, let's meet. Number three, let's consider and decide. And he gave a deadline as to when you could decide to join, or when you needed to decide to join. He actually had a space for journaling at the end of the prospectus. So he asked these questions: in what ways would you be challenged to grow by being a part of a new church? Is right now a healthy time for you to join a new church? How would people you are in relationship be more likely to hear the gospel and see its fruit through a local church? How do you sense God's spirit inclining your heart to the church plant or to stay where you are? Would you better be able to use your gifts? So he had several of these questions that ended his prospectus, which was pretty neat to see.
Yeah, that is good. I like that. Is that one of the examples?
Yes, it is one of the examples. Yep.
Okay, I like that. That's good. I'd heard that way. Yeah, so again, for me, I like the idea of journaling. That's good. And what I would do is I would have, in the course of my conversation, the prospectus already read by the time I did the ask. Mm. So because I think ultimately I want to ask for any clarification and go from there.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in to the New Churches podcast. We are a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family, which the Group Answers podcast with Chris Surratt and Brian Daniel. They are also a part of it. And funny thing. So Chris Surratt works at Lifeway, right? And
I've heard of him.
His brother, I mean, Greg Surratt leads ARC.
It's the Surratt Mafia. We've talked about the Surratt Mafia before.
We have. Jeff Surratt, I just met.
Oh, really? You didn't know Jeff? Okay. Stuff.
No, yeah. I mean, you know, just kind of here and there, but it was fun. At Exponential, Jeff and Sherry, right? Christina and I were part of the same pre-marriage or the marriage pre-conference track as Jeff and Sherry.
Oh,
so
fun.
It was cool to meet another Surratt and work with him in that way. And it was fun to.
Okay, so fun fact. I saw Josh at Exponential and he said to me, hey, I want my P90X back.
Jeff, you mean?
Yeah, no, not Jeff. Josh, right? Josh is the one who works at Lifeway.
No, Chris.
Chris. Oh my gosh.
Who is like, Josh Surratt?
I don't even. There's a Josh Surratt. What is he?
Oh,
like, isn't he like at the church now?
I don't know.
See, there's so many
Chris,
of them.
So Chris asked you for his P90X back?
Yeah, yes. We mentioned on the podcast. I think he might have heard it, and he wants his P90X back because clearly I'm not using it. Anyway, so but Josh is. But I have. But I did do the treadmill for an hour before this podcast. But Josh is at Seacoast now. So that's Greg's son.
Oh, is he? So did he take over Seacoast?
Yeah. So, okay, and all cool. Descended from? Do you remember who they're all descended from?
Yes, Mary Surratt.
Mary Surratt. The killed Lincoln. Well, actually, a debate, but perhaps a conspirator in the killing of our president. And now prominent Christian leaders, the Surratts.
Well, God does bring about beauty from the ashes. So
there you go. That's very way to end that strong.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you guys next time.